The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 2 Podcast.
Welcome to another edition of the Paul Feinbaum Show. Sans Paul Feinbaum, Peter Burns, anchor of the SEC Network. I do about 9 million jobs around here for ESPN, SEC Network. Happy to be in the big host chair, filling in big shoes for Tom Hart. TV Tom Hart being able to host the last couple of days, and it was fantastic. A lot of great phone calls. I love the topic that he did yesterday, talking about, you know, the greatest players in the SEC and greatest teams that have never won a title. Of course, Hale State putting an end to that after Mississippi State won it in Omaha a couple of weeks ago. We are just a couple of days away from SEC Media Days, so we'll get you some updates on that. Also, some interesting schedule quirks as we saw possible news of the Florida Gators getting a, I would say, a big-time opponent added to their schedule upcoming. We'll talk to Mike Bianchi of the Orlando Sentinel about that a little bit later. Also, Tennessee-Syracuse. That is an interesting matchup. I'll put it that way. Chick-fil-A Peach Bowl kickoff, which was announced earlier today on 2025. I want to get Vols fans' thoughts on that, about that matchup particularly in 2025. Did you like it? Did it seem weird? Was there somebody else that you wanted? And I also put this out on Twitter earlier today, and we're going to have some fun with this. You guys were great on Twitter about this, at Peter Burns ESPN. Based on Tennessee and Syracuse kind of coming out of nowhere, didn't really expect it, what's the most random yet really kind of fun team your favorite squad hasn't played in a while or you want to see them play, right? We'll take those phone calls coming up all day today. 855-242-PAUL is the number. That's 855-242-7285. Peter Burns in for Paul Feinbaum today. Guests include Nebraska AD, and a man that used to work for ESPN himself. Trev Albert's going to join us in about 30 minutes. I said Mike Bianchi of Orlando Sentinel joining us at the top of the next hour. Harry Lyles with a great article talking about the kind of the craziest name, image, and likeness deals that we've seen so far will join us in that second hour. Going a little bit of all Texas in that third hour, Billy Lucci from Tex Ags. And we'll also talk to Jason Kersey, who is over at Big 12 Media Days right now. As obviously we have 4 days, Big 12, only 10 teams, and so they decide that they're going to have 2 days. And so this is the second day of Big 12 Media Days. I thought Bob Bowlesby was good yesterday. Well, I'll touch on some of his things that he had to talk about yesterday. But the big controversy today that Jason Kersey will talk to us a little bit about is I'm seeing here Greg Burke, the Big 12 lead official or head officials, has said, when asked about it, about this big horns down controversy, and I call it controversy because I don't really care either way, yet social media is loving it today, on if you point against the Texas Longhorns, if you go horns down, okay, like Joe Burrow's dad famously did when LSU beat Texas a couple years ago, if you go horns down towards a player, it's going to be a penalty. But if you go horns down towards the fans, it may not be a penalty. So again, this is how crazy college football is. I love how just stupid this great game is because of things like this. 855-242-PAUL is the number. That's 855-242-7285. Speaking of Texas, let's get our first phone call in as they're already starting to line up right now. Pat in Texas, thanks for joining Peter Burns in for Paul Feinbaum. What's up, Pat?
Hey, how you doing, sir?
Man, I'm doing well. Getting closer and closer to football seasons. So that's good news for us, Pat.
Yes, it is. And I wanted to talk about Bear Bryant, Coach Bear Bryant. When several years after he left A&M, he said that the Aggies will never be a consistent winner because they talk too much and fires up the opposing team. And so what's your opinion on that?
I think things change over time, right? I mean, there are teams that have had a lot of swagger, Pat. I mean, think about the Miami teams that won national championships. I mean, it was the U, right? It was all about, and now they're trying to get, quote-unquote, that swagger back. So you can. But I've brought this example up many years here hosting this show. Is I can vividly remember going down to Baton Rouge. Normally, I'm in SEC Network Studios on Saturdays, so I don't get a chance to go home to the games a lot down in Baton Rouge. And I'm a big LSU fan. But I'd always circle it around the LSU-Bama game because my wife's a diehard Bama fan. And I always vividly remember seeing LSU's crowd going crazy, the players going crazy, coaching staff, everything. You could just get drunk on excitement in Tiger Stadium. And every time I turned around, I'd look at Alabama, and it was emotionless. They looked like football-playing cyborgs that were just ready to rip your heart out. And most of the time, they did. So I think there's a little bit to that, Pat. But I think that's also an old-school mentality that Paul Bear Bryant had, and it's one of the reasons why he was one of the greatest, and arguably the greatest, until Nick Saban took that mantle away from him.
Okay. And the second question is I had is, when is Paul going to be back on the Southeast Conference Network? I haven't seen him for 2 weeks.
That's right. So normally what we do is we do an SEC Network takeover, right? So for 2 weeks, we allow every single school, all of the 14 different schools to come in, and they get one day where they pick out the best of their programming throughout the year, opportunity to get some of our staff off, and it allows an opportunity for Paul to recharge his batteries and take a couple of days off. So he's probably getting well tanned, well toned, just so he is ready. And we will be back on for SEC Media Day starting on Monday. So don't have no fear. Paul Finebaum will be back soon. 855-242-PAUL is the number. Pete in Florida. Talk to me about your Gators, my man.
Well, I mean, we're here in Florida, a bunch of Gator fans where I live here in Westville, Florida. All we hear about is Alabama and Georgia and Clemson. Nobody wants to talk about all the young bucks we got coming back on the offensive line that's a year older and a year stronger. And if you watch those defensive line trench battles in the Georgia and Alabama game, Florida was holding their own, especially in the Georgia and Alabama game. Without that time, the offensive line give Trask to throw the ball, it wouldn't have been nowhere closer to showing as that we had with our offensive line coming along.
Yeah, and obviously, you know, as much as we want to talk about it, Pete, as everyone wants to go, the first thing is, well, Kyle Trask is gone, Kadarius Toney, Pitts is gone, everybody in that secondary is gone. But what you're saying is something that every single SEC coach that I've ever met, and I'm sure it's a little bit of a cliche, but I know Dan Mullen believes it, or at least he believed it when he told me this at Mississippi State when he was down there, is about if you don't have an offensive line in this league, you can't play, right? No matter how good your skill positions are, if they can't block, they can do it. I mean, Ethan White was fantastic on that offensive line last year. The question is can Emory Jones take the next step? Because Emory Jones isn't – a lot of people are thinking Emory Jones is going to go back there and he's going to be this Johnny Manziel slash Lamar Jackson guy that can just float throughout the pocket. He's not really that guy. He's more of a passer. So that needs to be the strength for Florida football. Now, before I let you go, Pete, big news that was Mike Bianchi from Orlando Sentinel was talking about, and we kind of felt like this was on the way, coming. How do you feel about if UCF gets added to the Florida Gators schedule down the road? You good with that?
I'm good with that. There needs to be a battle in the state of Florida for the number one, the five stars coming out of Florida and all these four stars. It's going to be a battle between UCF, Florida, Miami, and Florida State. I think we should all go around with each other, and the better team start getting some of these five stars or big time four stars to start staying in state.
Pete, I love that attitude, right? And thank you for the phone call, 855-242-7285. You want to get in here, Peter Burns, hosting for Paul Finebaum today. I love that attitude because, like I told you guys Monday when I hosted, to start for the Georgia Bulldogs. So, again, all the records, just in case you missed the show, I think Georgia wins the SEC championship this year. I think they win it all, but at least the SEC. And I said, you want to have those expectations. And what Pete, the Florida Gator fan, is saying, like, yeah, let's play him. Why not? And if you're Dan Mullen, you want to play him. I know Gus Malzahn wants to play him. In fact, Connor, I think, do we have that sound from Gus Malzahn's opening presser over at UCF. You got that ready
to
go.
Yeah, we got it right here.
Yeah, let's go ahead and play. This was Gus Malzahn when asked. I don't remember if it was necessarily about Florida, but about playing opponents in home and two for ones. Well, here's what he had to say.
Would you be willing to play without a home and home return game, or what would be your approach to that sort of scheduling?
I'll play out in the parking lot, all right? Terry can decide if we're playing a home or on the road or two for whatever. I mean, I just want to play him and I want to beat him.
So when he says that, and he's talking Terry, his new athletic director over at UCF, as Danny White's up there at Tennessee. And the reason why he's saying that is that he wants to play him, and rightfully so. Gus is chomping at the bit. I mean, hell, he'd probably want to play Brian Harsin in Auburn real quick. I'm not quite sure if that gets put on the schedule anytime soon. However, with Dan Mullen, if I'm Dan, I want to play him as well too, right? Dan's got a little swagger to him. I know that he enjoyed going up against Gus Malzahn and back and forth. Those guys, both good friends, both probably golfing buddies. So I think they'd probably have a little, you know, friendly country club wager on it. However, the big wager is recruits, right? This is your chance. And if all of a sudden, if you're saying, man, I don't really want to play somebody at UCF or I don't want to play Florida, if that's your mentality, because Florida could do that. If you're Scott Strickland, you could say, man, why, we're not going to waste our time. We're going to play power fives. And if you want, you know, maybe I'll do a three for one, maybe. Right? He doesn't have to do this. But I think Dan, I think Scott Strickland, I think everybody wants to do it because they're like, they believe in themselves. And if you believe in yourself and all of a sudden you whip UCF by 30, well, that could flip a recruit or two. And on the other way, if you lose that game, well, guess what? Then you find out what recruits you really need, and you're going to have to pay the piper on it. 855-242-PAUL is the number. More of your phone calls coming up. Also, the great Matt Stinchcomb joined my SiriusXM show earlier this week, and what he had to say about and from Kirby Smart blew my mind. We'll play that audio coming up next. Peter Burns in on the Paul Feinbaum Show.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/Paul. That's Hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. Hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan. Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-hour energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Little Guns N' Roses on a Thursday. Peter Burns in for Paul Feinbaum. Follow me on Twitter at Peter Burns ESPN. News coming earlier today. Tennessee Volunteers going to be playing the Syracuse Orange 2025. That game is going to be played. And so now it's what, first matchup in 24 years. And I was doing a little research there. I'm like, what a random just mixture, right? Like of Tennessee, if you would have told me, all right, big announcement, Tennessee's going to be playing somebody 2025. They need a Power 5 opponent. Probably would have gone pretty far down the list before I picked Syracuse. Now, the kicker here is that it is the Chick-fil-A Peach Bowl kickoff. And there's always, you know, not always, but a lot of times you try to get an SEC and an ACC matchup. So there it is. You've got an SEC team in Tennessee, an ACC matchup with Syracuse. And I think last time, if I'm not mistaken, I think they played, might have been 98. in the national championship year. So that's maybe one of the reasons why it was advantageous for Danny White and those guys to do it. So I asked you on Twitter, and you can give us a call, 855-242-PAUL. What's the most random college football matchup two schools could schedule? Because one of the first ones that came to mind is actually one that we get this year. LSU and UCLA. Like, I love that one. LSU going out west. We get that week one this year. Pumped. Miami-Boise State, I think, would be an interesting one as well. I'd love to see Mississippi State and Mike Leach go back to where he was at Washington State. Now, I don't think that actually is going to happen. But sometimes you do, right? I mean, my goodness, you got Liberty playing Ole Miss this year in the Hugh Freeze Bowl, which is going to be just great television. So looking forward to those. 855-242-PAUL is the phone number. Let's take some more of your calls here right now. Let's go Jim in Alabama. Welcome into the Paul Feinbaum Show. What's up, Jim?
Hey, I'm sitting up in the parking lot at Jacksonville State University here. My wife is a professor here. And I was listening to you, lately, just that random matchup. What about Jacksonville State University here in Alabama playing Auburn? And I think that'd be a great random some year. But the reason that I mentioned to your call to your screener, and he is my cousin Johnny Howell. John Howell went to Jacksonville State University right after World War II, and he made Little All-American. Now, here's the story. He was on a scholarship at Auburn, and he broke his arm in practice, and it took so long to heal. Back then, they could just drop you from scholarship, and they can't do it by regulation anymore, just drop you. But and so he walked on at Jacksonville State University up here in North Alabama and made Little All-American. And I wonder if you guys or Paul has talked about stories like that, where a guy's either dropped or he leaves the team because of discipline, or and he shows up somewhere else, some obscure college, and just turns out great. I wonder how many Alabama or Auburn or other big universities have lost like that.
Well, you know, Jim, none right now come to mind, of course, right here on the spot. But it's a fascinating discussion because, you know, success, not only just in college football, but everywhere, is really kind of relative to where you're at the time, right? Like an opportunity had all of a sudden you had a quarterback who's going to be fantastic, but he's sixth on the depth chart. Well, you know, might not have that opportunity to ever, you know, come to fruition. If I'm not mistaken, I want to say Namath was, and I'm going to get blistered by Alabama fans here on the Feinbaum Show. But when Broadway Joe showed up, it was not like, hey, he's Arch Manning, he's the five-star recruit. It was, you know, coming into a different spot, and he had to play his way up.
Yeah, you're right. He was from some obscure place in Pennsylvania. You know, he was a Yankee coming down to Alabama. But wasn't that – there's a guy playing in the pro now doing well. Wasn't he like third string, and he left his college in the Midwest somewhere, and he came down to LSU. This was just a few years ago. And didn't he win the championship? He just hadn't had a chance at his school for some reason. Who am I talking about? I can't remember his name. But
well, I know there's the there was the linebacker, and it was last year. My goodness, it was a Jabari from North Dakota State, who was a pretty solid linebacker as well. I know that he had transferred out, but it is an opportunity. And Jim, thanks for the phone call. But what is interesting in the transfer portal? We talked about this, you know, Monday when I was hosting, is the fact that now with the transfer portal being what it is. And it's just accepted that, hey, it's no longer, hey, I don't really like transfer portal kids or kind of transfers. You know, they probably, you know, wasn't a good fit for them somewhere else. All of a sudden, if there's a kid at Delaware State that's great, well, he could use that just like a JUCO back in the day and say, hey, I'm going to use this to get right, get 2 years of film, and I'm going to show you that I should have been recruited by you. And then all of a sudden, Kirby Smart might say, man, I'm missing a secondary guy. Boom, you're on the team. Or if I'm Alabama and I got to find a left tackle, right? Or I got to find this because of injuries we had in spring. What's the best guy in the portal? And they get that opportunity. That's why I've said the number one teams, these one percenters of college football, now with two signing days in the transfer portal and now immediate eligibility inside the transfer portal here in this conference, The big boys should never miss anymore. All they got to do is select who they want, and that's going to help the big dogs here in this conference. Earl is in Florida. Thanks for joining Peter Burns here on the Paul Feinbaum Show. What's up, Earl?
I'm just curious why nobody yesterday or today has mentioned anything about Greg Sankey's comments about the 12-team playoff. And matter of fact, he said some stuff about the entire playoff committee for the whole time. And nobody mentioned it yesterday and so far today, and I'm just curious why.
Well, Earl, what was it about Sankey's comments that you found to be interesting about the 12-team playoff?
He said it was stupid. And he said the committee was stupid for even thinking about it.
I have not seen Greg Sankey's comments that said such a thing. I would imagine me being pretty tuned in, and unfortunately I cannot get away from my phone. I'm dialing in on Twitter pretty well, that would have crossed my desk at some point. Because you got to keep
in
mind.
Well, it's on Alabama.com. It was written by, let me see who this guy is, the author. Goodman, I believe is his name.
Joseph Goodman, yeah. In fact, he was on my show here on the Feinbaum Show on Monday. I tell you what, unless that is breaking news from it. Now, I can't imagine that. I mean, listen, I've never seen, in to his credit, that Greg Sankey is not like me at any point. I say stuff. I fly off the handle. I tweet stuff I probably shouldn't tweet. If Greg Sankey says something, it's probably been thought of, rethought of, looked at from 17 different angles, shot holes in it, and be like, all right, I feel confident about what I'm about to say, how I feel, and he puts it out there. He doesn't necessarily shoot from the hip. So for him to say that a committee that he was on in a 12-team playoff was stupid, I don't ever see that coming out of his mind or out of his mouth. What I would imagine he would probably say is that there's still a lot to look into, that this is not necessarily the biggest no-brainer that everybody thought. It's moving that way, but there's going to be pros and cons like any of it. And I think that's also one of the reasons why...
I'll read you a paragraph out of it.
Okay, all right. Go for it.
I've got it on my laptop right now. I saw it Monday, I think, or whenever.
Okay.
We are trusting the architects of the first disaster to get anything right. Presumably, they'll just mess up again. The four-team playoff format is ruining college football for everyone except a few brand name schools. Not now, that a certain team in the state of Alabama is complaining, but what if those proposed 12 teams version isn't much better?
So, I see what you're doing, and I read the same article. That was what Joseph Goodman said, and just a PSA. That was not Sankey. Sankey might have been quoted in that piece, but I believe that was probably Joe Goodman, the actual columnist himself from AL.com, talking about it as more of an opinionated person or a columnist, okay? So, I'll tell you what. I will do you one better. We're going to take a quick break. I'll make sure I'll do my research on that and double check, but I think we're pretty safe that I can't imagine Greg Sankey calling it dumb. If it is, I will apologize to you, Earl, in Florida, and I will appreciate you bringing it up. More of your phone calls coming up next. We're also going to be joined by Trev Alberts, the Nebraska AD. That's right. What's it like for him taking over that job, one of the big powerhouses of college football? We'll tell you next here on the Paul Feinbaum Show.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Peter Burns in for Paul Feinbaum today. Follow me on Twitter at Peter Burns ESPN. As always, we will get to your phone calls throughout the show. 855-242-PAUL, 855-242-7285. We had, I believe, Earl in Florida earlier give me a call, and he says, hey, Greg Sankey said he didn't like a 12-team playoff. I looked, could not see that information out there. So, Earl, I appreciate it. I think it was Joe Goodman at AL.com that had it, but I appreciate it. Right now, what I love about this show is that not only that we get to cover the SEC, we get to cover all of college sports and all of college football, and a powerhouse name and a brand is Nebraska football. If you know the sport, you know that for a long time, it has always been at one of the upper echelon programs. And the man who gets to be at the head of that now is joining us, former All-American linebacker and new athletic director, or is it director of athletics in Nebraska, Trev Alberts? What's the proper way, Trev?
You know what? I don't think it really matters. I think it's director of athletics, but I'm not sure that matters. But thank you for having me on.
We're excited to have you, and I'm so curious about this. And of course, you know, going from, you know, we remember watching you play and be fantastic in over for the Cornhuskers back in the day, and then, you know, brief NFL career, worked with us over at ESPN for a while, and now I've done a great job over at Omaha and now taking over as the AD. But out of all of those jobs, I want to know, what was the first job like you ever had? Did you have like a high school job growing up, or what did Trev Albers do before he got into playing football or any of this?
Well, I grew up in Northeast Iowa in a farming community, so I learned to work on a farm. And I guess you could say, you know, we didn't get paid, but I worked for my dad. He was, you know, we had several hundred acres of farmland. But my first official job is we started Albert's Detasseling. So for those of you in the South that don't know what detasseling corn is, you're missing out on a real joy when you're about 14 or 15 years old. It's the worst job you could ever have in your life. So, you know, from an early age, we did a lot of work outdoors, and that's kind of the background, a rural and agriculturally based background, if you will.
But it builds character, right? I mean, what does exactly entail detasseling? I mean, you're literally getting the corn out? I'm so curious about this now.
No. That's a great question. So there's lots of, you know, the average person. So there's field corn, right? So that's the corn that you're going to combine and you sell. And right now we're getting $5-6 a bushel, which is wonderful. I mean, for years it was, you know, $2.50 a bushel. Then you have sweet corn. Sweet corn, obviously, you're not planting nearly as much of that. That's what we eat, right? So you go to the grocery store. Well, what you're detasseling is the companies that are the seed companies. So you're doing hybrids and all of that. You actually have what's called male and female rows. And so they're creating hybrids, and that's creating the seed that ultimately leads to the field corn. So you're working on making sure you have the greatest, you know, possible stock that you possibly can. So what you would do is you would have four female rows and two male rows. And what you do is you're going to detassel all of those four in a female because you want those two male rows to actually be what germinates the silk, the tassels on the top, which will germinate that silk and give you a hybrid and the best possible seed so that you can have the best bushel an acre in the future for your field corn.
Fascinating. So Trev Albers is dialed in here on the tasseling, and I learned something new here. Trev Albers, the director of athletics over at Nebraska, who I'm sure did not think coming into this interview with Peter Burns that you'd be talking about corn and the tasseling, yet here we are. What has been the biggest question? I mean, I'm sure you're doing a bunch of these. And I'm not going to say Scott Frost, because winning takes care of that, right? Like, we understand what's there. He's under contract, $30 million till 2026. So it's not Scott Frost. What's the second biggest question you get asked?
Well, you know, obviously this is a pretty big leap, you know, for me. I've been an athletic director now for 12 years, but we're Division I AAA, right? So we're a mid-major public metropolitan school that didn't compete in football. Ice hockey is our premier sport, if you will, and our primary revenue generator. So, you know, I guess we're probably about a $21 million annual operating budget when you include all of our facilities. When you're going from a $20 million annual operating budget to a $150 million budget, it's a significant leap. You're dealing with a different level of coaching expectation and personality. So, you know, I think it clearly is a leap there. I think there's probably some built-in advantages in the sense that, you know, I've been a part of this system. So the University of Nebraska is a little bit different. We have one university. We have four campuses. So we have the University of Nebraska in Lincoln, obviously, the University of Nebraska in Kearney, the University of Nebraska in Omaha, and the University of Nebraska Medical Center. So, you know, a lot of the relationships, the governance structure within the university, having been in the university for 12 years, that's been a bit of a benefit, as well as the donors and corporate community that are so important in supporting the student athletes. So a lot of it is, you know, what's the culture at UNO, where we currently am, and then starting Monday, what does the culture look like at UNL? How can you administratively affect positive change? I mean, at the end of the day, obviously we hire and fire coaches, but we need to do our jobs administratively, right? I mean, you got to earn the trust of those coaches. And, we never call plays. We don't tell coaches who to hire or who to recruit. But you got to earn the trust of the student athletes, earn the trust of the coaches. And I think really on the edges, the periphery a little bit, to work hard to make sure that the culture is in place that allows the coaches to be successful. And, at the end of the day, also have the resources necessary to be able to compete. I mean, everybody's on scholarship. Every university has the same vision, right?
Right.
And so what are we going to do that differentiates ourselves, that gives us an opportunity to be competitive? I think that's what some of the stuff that you can do administratively, and that's what we'll be focused on, at least initially.
Pro 14 playoff, 18 playoff, 12 team, 64. What's initial thoughts there?
Well, I would say, and I got to be very careful here, right? I mean, I
no, you don't start till Monday.
Time.
You're good. I mean, I'm sure the ink's already signed. You're okay.
But I do think, and I will say, I can go back to my days in broadcasting, I would be the first to tell you, I was a big proponent of a playoff, and I just believe that you determine championships on the field arbitrarily, but I would also say in certain respects, I was wrong. I love the fact that we have a playoff now, but I think you have to be careful. And, what makes college football so much fun is when a lot of different brands and really passionate fan bases feel like they have a legitimate shot, right? You give the NFL a little bit of a credit in terms of, every single franchise at the start of the year, thinks they've got a legitimate shot to make it the Super Bowl. So I think expanding the opportunities, I think expanding the playoff, I haven't done a deep dive, frankly, into what the number is, but I think the ratings are self-evident, if you will. And, what makes college football special is it's a passion sport. We need to make sure that we protect that. And so you tip your hat to Alabama and Clemson, Ohio State, and Notre Dame, those programs. But I really think that, competitive equity and making sure that that more fan bases having a chance to participate is probably a good thing.
One or two more questions here for Trev Albert. It's going to be the incoming director of athletics over at Nebraska, joining Peter Burns here on the Paul Feinbaum Show. Trev, you talked about responsibilities, and a lot of it last year, crazy year, right? You're just walking into, my goodness, college athletics, just a brand new world. How is Nebraska going to be dealing with players getting vaccinated, not getting vaccinated? How have you had those honest discussions with your staff?
Well, I think first and foremost, we've always been, we are here at the University of Nebraska Omaha, and we certainly will be down in Lincoln as well. The athletics folks will not reside outside of our institutional thinking. And, one of the things that I'm really, really passionate about is if you look across the board, if you look at those universities, I've gotten to know President Clements a little bit down at Clemson. My daughter played volleyball there the last 4 years. Got to know Dan Radakovich a little bit, got to interact a little bit with Dabo Sweeney. And, the reality is that the schools at elite levels have real unity of purpose and alignment and leadership. And that's really important. And I'm not suggesting that Nebraska doesn't have that. I don't know that. My point is that the athletics department, I believe, has to be not an independent operator, not in a silo, has to be part of an overall university mission and vision. And so we will be actively participating in what President Carter, our president at the University of Nebraska. I don't believe that there will be mandates on vaccines. I think there's certainly a real encouragement, and my understanding is we've had very broad and consistent participation in those. So that'll be very important to us.
And we'd all like to see college football played as much in front of as many fans, so hopefully they're as safe as possible. Trev,
right.
Thank you so much for the time. It's going to be fun, and thank you for telling me about de-hussing. Was it de-tussling?
Detasseling.
Detasseling.
Detasseling. And right. And I'll tell you what, Peter, I got an idea for you.
Go
next
for it.
Next summer, it's a little bit too late now, but next summer we're going to bring you up to Nebraska, and we'll get you a little detasseling in, and you'll get to experience it firsthand. You'll love it.
Hey, I love Nebraska. I go up there for Omaha and watch it and go every single year. So to be able to go up there and learn from the best, I can't wait. Trev, thank you so much for the time, man. Best of luck.
Thank you. Take care.
There it is, Trev Alberts, the director of the tasseling and also athletics over the Cornhuskers. All right, a lot to unpack in that. I want to get that, get some thoughts on that interview and also your phone calls as well. 855-242-7285. Peter Burns in for Paul Feinbaum.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships. Your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Peter Burns in for Paul Feinbaum, 855-242-PAUL is the number, just a couple of days away from media days. We just had Trev Alberts, former ESPN guy, former Huskers linebacker, All-American, now going to be the director of athletics over at Nebraska. I mean, listen, college football is better when brands are better, right? And it would be good to see if Scott Frost can go on a victory. It'd be good to see Florida State finally get something that resembles a, somewhat of a respectable football team, right? I kind of like that. Kind of like when UCLA or USC is pretty good. Gets kind of old when it's SEC squads, Ohio State, and Clemson. Let's see some new blood get out there. We've been talking about some of the different matchups. And I talk about what's a random matchup you would love to see for your favorite team. 855-242-7285. Curtis in Alabama. Welcome into the Paul Feinbaum Show with Peter Burns. What's up, man?
Hey, what's up, man? Good to talk with you.
Same here, bud. Same here.
You doing all right?
Man, you know what? A couple of days from media days, and we're hosting Feinbaum.
I know, man.
It's just too damn hot. It's too damn hot.
It's only like a 30-minute drive from here to, you know, where media days is from where I'm at, so I'm ready. Stop saying allowing fans, huh?
Yeah, so, I mean, again, everything, you know, coming off of last year in COVID, everything that we're trying to do this year, and this is not just SEC. I mean, I could tell you what we're doing behind the scenes at SEC Network, is trying to get out of everybody's way and make it safe for everybody so they can play college football and we can have fans in the stands. Because every chance that we can have to make it a little safer, boom, it's just better chances that we don't get any, you know, kids or people sick or, more importantly, you know.
I understand all that, you know. It's all good.
Well, what's your random matchup,
man? Man, I think we should have Ohio State and Alabama as a random matchup. I think there wouldn't be a person in the nation that wouldn't tune in.
Well, we saw it in 2014, obviously. Did not work well for the Alabama Crimson Tide. You know, it is interesting because those, Curtis, and I appreciate the phone call, everybody would tune in, right? I mean, that's why the numbers are going to be so good for college football playoff. But now, if you think the college football playoff is going to expand, I think you see the Georgias, the Alabamas of the world, right? Even, you know, Florida, Tennessee, all these teams – they're going to want to give something back to the season ticket holders and the people, the most important people that run college athletics, which is you, the fans, right? Without your fandom, college athletics doesn't go anywhere. And so I think they're looking at that we need better matchups. What those matchups will be, we're figuring out, right? Tennessee, Syracuse, okay. Going to be Chick-fil-A Peach Bowl kickoff here in 2025. I like it. I'm really intrigued if we could get this. Florida and UCF. Is that going to actually happen? and how it comes together. Mike Bianchi of the Orlando Sentinel going to join us next here on the Paul Feinbaum Show.